Good evening. Our text is going to be in Romans 5 that Brandon just read. But if you've got it, hold on to it if you want to. But we're going to start off in 1 Peter. Our topic tonight is a reason for hope from Romans chapter 5. But here in 1 Peter 3, in verse 15, Peter tells us, "Us strangers, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Have you had that question asked to you? I have personally. It comes in many different phrases, many different ways of it being asked. I don't think I've ever had someone walk up to me and say, "What's the reason for your hope?" But the time that stands out to me that I was asked this question, and when I tried to answer it, left not only myself, but the person who asked more confused and confounded than if they had never asked at all. At the end of the discussion, I felt so miserable that I just wanted to crawl into a hole and hide. I had done a horrible job trying to explain the reason for my hope. Maybe the Lord will be pleased to use some of what I say tonight to bring to my remembrance should I ever be asked again. And I'm sure I will be. Before we begin, though, we've got to define this word hope. In today's vocabulary, hope is meant, it's wishful thinking. In school, especially in college, if someone were to ask me how I did on a test, how'd you do on that test? I hope I passed. That answer meant I had absolutely no expectation of getting a passing grade. Nothing I had done had prepared me for that test. It was a vain wish that I was going to pass. If the teacher graded on a curve large enough, I might scrape by. The hope we're discussing tonight is nothing like that hope. This hope we're talking about can be more closely related to the word trust. We're talking about a hope that is confident. It is sure of the outcome. When we take our little children downstairs to the nursery, at some point, not all of them are there yet, but at some point when we take them down there, they stay down there without any issue. They're comfortable. They're satisfied. They have no cares about you leaving them for a little while. Because they know in just about an hour's time, you're going to come back down and get them. They have a confident expectation. They're hopeful that you'll be back. For those of you still in school, you don't go to school with any fear of being kept there and not having the ability to return home. You know at the end of the day, you're going to go home. You have a confident hope. It's a hope because you're away from home. You're not where you want to be yet, but you hope for it. You long for it, and you're confident at the end of the day that's where you're going to be. This is the hope we're talking about tonight. That hope that looks away from what's currently going on in your situation to a expected, a sought for, and a desired outcome that you're certain will come to pass. Now that we've defined that, I hope well enough, there's a couple of things to see about our hope before we address the reason for our hope. One thing is absolutely certain. Our hope is going to be displayed. It is going to be revealed. How does it reveal itself? At what time are we going to show forth our hope? Let's look here in 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When will our hope, our trust, our confidence in the Lord be revealed in such a way that a friend, a loved one, maybe even a stranger, will take notice and ask, how can you possibly bear up under all that is going on around you? How are you able to stand? As the lady Gabe spoke of recently, who, when her daughter died, she was rebuked by her friend for not lashing out in anger. That friend was asking, what's the reason for your hope? Why aren't you angry? Why? How can you endure this? Our hope will be on full display when trials and tribulations befall us. Thought about Israel at the Red Sea. Have you ever considered how good it seemed that Israel had in Egypt just before the Passover? As plague after plague after plague fell upon Egypt, Israel wasn't touched. They were safe. They were secure. Indeed, these slaves went to their Egyptian neighbors and borrowed from them jewels of silver and jewels of gold. They had been given favor with the Egyptians. To walk up to their neighbor and say, can I have that golden pot? Here it is. Take it with you. Then they followed the Lord and left Egypt to the Red Sea, where they found themselves literally between a rock and a hard place. Red Sea before them, hemmed in on the left and on the right, and the army of Egypt with 600 chariots coming behind them. From the perspective of that Egyptian army, they're dead. We've got them. we're going to go in and slaughter them, and the ones we don't slaughter, we're hauling back to Egypt with us to be our slaves, as they rightly should be. That was the Egyptian army's thoughts. Well, Moses, you've brought the people out here. You've hemmed us in. The army of Egypt is coming to destroy us. What's your hope now? Moses replies, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Moses had no natural, no visible reason at that moment in time to have any confidence that they were going to escape. There was nothing he could do in himself. There was nothing the Israelites could do against Egypt. Even the people of Israel turned against him. Yet he demonstrated his hope and his confidence in the God of his salvation. Just as Moses did when he was in dire distress, so the child of God will also display and demonstrate their hope when trouble comes. And the question will eventually come to us in that trial, during those times, especially from someone who puts their trust in a little g God. Because they're going to watch you, and they're going to see you bow to the sovereign will of God. And they're not going to be able to understand it. If their little g God put them in whatever condition they're seeing you in whatever condition they feel you're undergoing so great a difficulty, they would say of their little God, "He's abandoned me. He's failed. He's not kept me." And the child of God says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." When that day comes, when our hearts are heavy, when all around us appears to be falling apart, when we flee to the Lord our salvation, and those around ask, "How is it that you haven't completely fallen apart?" Or as Job's wife said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." May we be able to tell the reason for our hope in a manner that is clear. Now let's turn to our text, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Paul here, just as Peter did, shows us that first, tribulations, trials, heartaches, troubles in this world come to us. Those tribulations work patience. They cause us to learn patience. We are all by nature impatient beings. We want everything right now. It starts from the time we come from the womb. And unless God has mercy on us, we'll be that way until we leave. We want it. We want it now. And it doesn't matter what it costs other people. It's got to be mine. But the Lord sends us tribulations to teach us, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. While learning patience, we gain experience. And that experience leads us to hope. When we start going to school, I'm talking the first day you left as a little child to go to school for the first time. For some of us, it's been a while. But think back to that little boy or that little girl that left that house for the first time. How unsure, how scared, how uncertain we were when we left that house. That fear, that uncertainty, that anxiety, that was a little tribulation. Looking back, it was nothing. But to that little child that left, that was just a mountain. A great trial. But we learn through the years of school that that first day of school isn't something that caused fear. But as we got older, it was a little exciting. We're going to see our friends that we haven't seen all summer. We're going to reacquaint ourselves and have fun again. That's experience. And the longer we go to school, the more sure we become of the outcome. We have a confident hope for the end of the day. We're going to go home. And all's going to be well. Our Lord deals with us so very patiently as with little children. And He teaches us and guides us as we need. Even Abraham grew in faith. He wasn't called upon to offer Isaac until he had learned patience and had experienced that the Lord is faithful to fulfill His promise. What did Abraham learn? What was his answer when asked by Isaac to give a reason for his hope? My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Just as Abraham, we will be led through various trials so that we are taught patience to look to Christ, gain experience, and with it have a confident hope, a hope that has a sure foundation, a hope that looks back on the experiences and says, the Lord has provided for me. The Lord shall provide for me. Now, beginning at verse 6 through verse 11, Paul expounds on the hope that we have. Lord willing, we'll spend just a few more minutes and we'll see that our hope is the same as Paul's hope, that Christ died for sinners, that we are justified by His blood. We are reconciled to God by His death. We are saved by His life. And we have received the atonement. Again in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To man, in his self-righteousness and his pride, the first cause of a believer's hope is so foreign that no man, no woman, not me, not you, can know it without God Himself revealing it to us. First cause we have to hope is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world to save sinners. Being raised under the sound of the gospel for most of my life, I thought everyone was aware that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone's a sinner. So when a good friend of mine who was quite religious in college looked at me one day and said, "Well, you're not a sinner, are you?" I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know there were people that thought that we weren't all sinners. What hope can we have if we're not a sinner? There's no hope in these scriptures to anyone who claims, "I'm good enough. I'm whole. I'm complete. I can stand before God, and He has to receive me. I've earned it." The first and only confidence of my hope and my trust is that Christ died for the ungodly and commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Would you have a confident hope that you're accepted before God? And may God be pleased to reveal to us that we are, that I am, nothing but sin apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's pleased to reveal that to us, our hearts will cry out and justify God, saying, "If He beholds me apart from Christ, He must condemn me, for I am guilty of sinning against Him and Him alone." The first standing we have for our hope is the end of verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul then builds on this foundation. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing His bride polluted in her own blood, bore our sins upon the tree. He suffered the wrath and penalty that was due our sin, laid down His life for our sake, and rose again for our justification. He lived a life free from sin and earned a righteous standing before God, not for His own sake, but for those He came to save. He paid our debt. He bestowed on us that righteousness so that when God sees us in Him, He sees a people who have kept every jot and tittle of His law. When all is dark and bleak, when the world stands against us, why do you have such confidence and hope in Christ? Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Much more, He was raised again for our justification. Our hope is founded on Christ died for us. Much more, He bore our sins away and was raised again, proving His sacrifice was accepted. And the result of this acceptance, He has justified us by His blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Paul continues, our hope is that we are reconciled to God. Verse 10, for if When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. While we were enemies against God, while we shouted out, "No, God," God sent His only begotten Son to die for us, making peace. When our Lord took upon Himself our sin, our guilt, our iniquity, and hung upon that cross at Calvary, the anger, wrath, and judgment of God fell upon Him, and our sins were paid for in His body. The price being paid, the wrath and anger of God put away, there is now peace between God and men in the Lord Jesus Christ. After our Lord shed His blood, laid down His life, rose again for our justification, He ascended into glory, where He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work being accomplished, salvation being secured, He sat down where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Our hope, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Before He went to the cross, our Lord prayed and left His last will and testament to us. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 9:15 and 16 says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Our Lord laid down His life, and His testament went into effect. And He rose again to ensure that His will is accomplished. On the foundation of Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, our hope is found in He died for us, He justified us, He reconciled us to God, we are saved by His life. And verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Most of the time when we read that word atonement, it involves the meaning of a covering. But this word atonement here means restoration of the favor of God. In my sin, in my unbelief, even knowing what great things God has done for me, I still naturally, generally think that God just barely accepts me in Christ. That He's accepted me because of Christ, but it's just by the skin of my teeth that I'm accepted. Because in my flesh, I still consider Him to be much too like myself. And sinfully, I still consider that He accepts me almost begrudgingly. After all, I sent His Son to the cross. It was my sin that held Him there. May the Lord forgive me for having such low thoughts of His character. Our Lord delights to show mercy. A man who is in love with his bride does not go to the wedding ceremony with hesitation or reservation, but he goes joyfully. And he brings her into his home and into his life completely. And with great desire, he keeps her there. Our Lord calls us his bride. His desire is toward us, each individual that he gave his life for. We have favor with God in Christ Jesus. What a glorious reason we have to hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know this hope every day. But oh, how it shines forth when we're under great turmoil and tribulation. When the temporal things of this world are fading away, and I'm asked, what is the reason for your hope? May the Lord bring to mind his wonderful blessings towards me. Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died for us while we were yet sinners. He has justified us by his blood and reconciled us to God by his death. We are saved by his life, and his favor is upon us through Jesus Christ. Let's read Romans 5 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Eddie. And y'all be remembering William as he prepares for Sunday Bible study, and Lord willing, Gabe will be back. Bring services Sunday.